All right, take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms. We in Psalms right now, reading through. We up to Psalm 20. And what a ton of principles and great truths that we have. The Psalms are songs. They are a song book of the Bible. That's what we find when we're reading through the Psalms. They are meditations of the heart, songs that were penned by David and others, and they were penned as the Lord led them under the inspiration of the Spirit. And there's so many prophetic messages in the Psalms when we read them. So we want to learn the Psalms and learn them and read them through. That's why we're reading just five a day, which is a lot, no doubt about it. Some Psalms are short, and we can read them fairly quickly through, and then some get a little bit longer. Like Psalm 18 is one of those longer psalms, and as we progressively read through, we're going to find some of them that are fairly long, but they have some great historical references to them and great and mighty truths in them that we're going to find that as we read in the Newer Testament, we'll see that some of these psalms that you're reading right now are going to be mentioned directly in the New Testament. Brother Shannon asked this morning that he had picked up over the last several years of my teaching and preaching. He says that he noticed I refer back to the Psalms all the time. And in most cases, in most messages, at some point, I take it back to a psalm or like a proverb, because I'm more of a principle type teacher. And when I find principles in the New Testament or the Older Testament and Proverbs and Psalms, I like to correlate them together so that they will help us with understanding. And the Psalms are so full of these practical, passionate applications of praise that the Scriptures teach us that we're to speak to one another in Psalms. We're to speak to one another in Psalms. And if you would look in Psalm 18 and verse number 50. Psalm 18 and verse number 50. The psalm says, "Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. You know, he's talking about me right there. When he says to David and his descendants forevermore, I fall in that category. If you belong to Jesus, you fall in that category too. He's talking about you right there. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to David and all his descendants forevermore. Father, we thank you today that we can open up the precious word of God. I can't help but think about how many people around the world that still don't have a copy of your revelation. And we are blessed to be able to open it up, to have multiple copies before us, and have every person in here can have access to your truth, your word, your breath, what you want for us, the unveiling of yourself to us. And we are eternally grateful for these songs that you have given us, that you've inspired your servants to write, and how they help us see you and understand you, and that you bring clarity of thought and mind. And I pray that the meditations of our heart will be acceptable to you, that you would teach us today, that you would show us great and marvelous things out of your word, and that we would be careful to give you praise and thanks for it. Thank you for mentioning us, that we can see this, and that we in here, you're speaking of us today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I thought about several different passages to look at. I mean, when you think back and think of Psalm 1. Just think of Psalm 1 for a moment. Y'all quote it to me. Y'all probably already know Psalm 1. How does it start out? Y'all help me. Blessed is the man that does what? That walks not in the counsel. What is counsel? Y'all help me. What is counsel? Advice. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the advice of who? Ungodly. Now, who's the ungodly? Y'all help me. Who's the ungodly? Anybody without who? Without Jesus. Without God. That's anybody out there that does not have a relationship with the Lord is ungodly. That doesn't mean that this person is a necessarily evil, bad person. What we would describe as evil, bad, doesn't mean they're harmful people. Doesn't mean that they are a problem to our society. Doesn't mean anything like that. It just means that they're without God. And when they are without God, they're without life, or the quality of life that is eternal. And the Scripture says that blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the advice of those who are without God. That's important for us. Amen. How many of y'all want to be blessed? Amen. Now, not blessed on what America or other parts of the world claim to be blessed. We're talking about the way God describes a blessed person. How many of y'all want to be blessed the way God describes? That's what we want. We want to be blessed in the way God describes blessings. And He says, blessed is the man that doesn't walk, and the word walk has the idea of live, that doesn't live under the advice of those that are without God. Blessed is the man that is in that particular position. Those that are without God are the type of people that doesn't factor God into life's equation. Simply saying, they don't go to Him and ask Him what He thinks about a thing. They don't think about Him. Now, not saying that they can't think about Him, because they can think about Him, but they don't make that a practice in their life. They don't say, well, what does God say about how I should live? And as a result, they don't seek Him. They don't go to Him by faith and open up His Word and ask Him, God, how should I live my life? How should I walk in this life? How should I love people? How should I love my spouse? How should I love the people that You have given me that I work with? How should I love my community? How should I love the people that I go to church with? They don't factor that in. They don't do that. Matter of fact, a lot of them are not involved in a local fellowship of some sort. They just don't live that way. It's the way that I used to live and the way some of you used to live, because you were ungodly. You just were without God. I was raised in an ungodly home. Now, my parents loved us, sacrificed for us, did everything they could to teach us what they knew best at the time. That's all they knew, but they didn't know Him. And as a result of not knowing Him, He was never brought up into our conversations. He was never the center of what we did. He was never who we sought for guidance and for help, because my parents, they just didn't know God, and therefore they raised us without Him, and therefore I was raised in an ungodly home with ungodly parents who are not harmful, bad people toward our society. Matter of fact, they taught us to treat people fairly, and they taught us to help people, and they taught us how to communicate with people, and they taught us manners and how to say yes ma'am and no sir, and they taught us how to open doors for ladies, and they taught us how to be generous to people. But they just didn't teach us God's ways, because they didn't know Him. They were ungodly, and I lived in that advice. I lived in that counsel. But then God interrupted my life. And then He showed me another way of living. And He began to teach me. And He began to teach me that I was not to live under that advice of the ungodly. But God had counsel for me. He had a way for me to live. And He began to teach me and show me His way of living. And I began to seek Him out. And I began to open up His Word and say, God, what about this situation? Help me with this. Show me what I should do and how I should think. And then He taught me to commit myself to Him and he would help me think, and he would establish my thought process for me. And he began to do that. And before you know it, he began to guide me through life, and he began to describe me as being blessed because I found my delight in his law and not in the advice of an ungodly world. That's what he did and how he did it. Amen? Amen. And that's what he does today. So when we think about those things, the Psalms, this song opens up, the first Psalm simply says, blessed all the people who are not living according to the advice of an ungodly world. Amen. To God be the praise. Amen. Simply saying this, the things that my parents taught me and the things that their parents taught them and the people they had us surrounded by, what they were teaching and showing us, it wasn't that it was bad, it just had no eternal value to it. It was useless eternally. It wasn't to be lived to bring glory to God. Y'all know what I'm talking about? If some of you experienced that as well in your own life. But I'm so thankful for grace, amen, and for God's mercy and helping me turn from those things and put my confidence and trust in him to guide me and lead me. And then he began to teach me. You look in Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is a psalm that's all about God protecting King David. Y'all remember, David did some things in his life in his past that really hindered him and was going to hinder him the rest of the days of his life. Scripture says that the sword was never going to leave David's home. That meant that David was going to have problems inside his own. How many of y'all have problems inside your own family? Anybody have problems inside your own family? Everybody. How many's got somebody in their family that's dysfunctional? How many of you are the one? Raise your hand. All right. We're getting personal, huh? We all have some kind of dysfunction of some kind because we live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world with fallen people, we do fallen things and think like fallen people sometimes. Well, because of David's actions, God told him that the sword would never leave his house. That meant that his children were going to be at war with one another. What are some of the things David's children did that caused him great grief and conflict within his spirit and within his home? Somebody help me. What are some of those things? One raped his sister. Amnon raped Tamar. And when he raped Tamar, Tamar had a brother. See, Tamar wasn't his full-blooded sister. Amnon and Tamar had the same daddy. His name was David, but they had different mamas. But Tamar had a brother that had the same mama as him, and his name was what? Absalom. Right? What happens? What does Absalom do? He sets out because of what his brother did, Tamar did. He says, I'm going to kill Absalom. I'm going to kill Amnon. He waited a few years to do it, but he did it. He wound up killing his brother because of what he did to his sister. Well, David was so upset with him, David made him leave the city, wouldn't even talk with him, and he went away. Well, one of David's servants said, look, you need to reconcile with your son. You need to get things straight with your son. So he brought him back to Jerusalem, but David never went and seen him. So Absalom, he begins to create a plan. I'm going to overthrow my daddy. And I know David is everything to Jerusalem and he's everything to Judah, to Israel at the time. But he went out and he started winning the hearts of the people. And before you know it, the scripture says that all of the people, the important people, the major people in Israel begin to follow Absalom. And he won their hearts. And when he did, he then set out to revolt against his father. And he made a track toward Jerusalem. And he says, I'm going to kill David and I'm going to take his throne. I'm going to punish him for what he's the way he's been treating me and all. All that was a result of one thing. that David took the wife of another man. And not only did he take the wife of another man, but he had the man that he took the wife of. What did he do to him? He had it. Man, David was a messed up dude at times, wasn't he? I mean, he did a lot of things. But you know what the scriptures teach us about David? David was a man after God's own. And one thing David knew how to do, and he knew how to do well, he knew how to repent. Amen. And he had to repent on a consistent basis. But God kept using him, and God kept blessing him, and God kept showing him favor. You know what David says when Absalom was coming to take his city from him? David understood that Absalom was a wild man, and Absalom didn't show any restraint. And you know what he was going to do to Jerusalem if David stood and fought him? He was going to destroy Jerusalem, and he was going to kill a lot of people. So what did David do? David retreated, and he left, the city, and the priest came out to him, Mr. Bud, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, which belonged in the temple that was there in Jerusalem. And what they did was, it was a tabernacle at the time. They said, we need to take what do we need to do with the Ark of the Covenant? Do we need to bring it with us? And David told them this. He said, no, bring the Ark of the Covenant back. For if God shows me favor, I'll be back in this city, leading this city again. And David left Jerusalem, and he went out into the wilderness, and he waited on the Lord, and he found refuge in God. It looked like he was running from his son, but he wasn't running from him. He was just retreating because he understood his son didn't have the wisdom that was needed, and he would destroy a lot of people if David tried to fight him. But he also knew that God would protect him, and he rested in him. And Psalm 3 is all about that picture of what happens when people are against you, and when your family turns against you, when people come up to fight with you. It's okay at times. You can retreat. You don't have to stand and fight against them. Sometimes you can run and retreat, but you can know that retreat is not a defeat when it's the Lord you're running out to meet. He ran to Jesus. God protected him. And as a result, what happened? Absalom gets killed. But the city wasn't destroyed. A lot of lives wasn't lost. And a victory comes out of that. So we can see, like in Psalm 1, just from this song, as the scriptures teach us, that we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That when we live according to the counsel of God, we can trust Him and what He's doing. Even when things get ugly, even when our family turns, even when friends turn, even when a community turns, when those on the job turn, we have a refuge that we can flee to and run to and find cover under the shadow of His wings. Protect us. And no matter how things turn out, remember, great deliverance belongs to the King and His anointed and His descendants forever. We have a great deliverer, folks. And we can trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
You get over into Psalms 16, for an example. Look in Psalm 16. There's a lot. Matter of fact, stop at Psalm 10. Stop at Psalm 10 on your way to 16. Here's this idea again of the ungodly, the wicked, those who are wrong. When somebody's not right with God, what are they? They're wrong with Him. They're just wrong. And what we find in verse number 4, Psalm 10, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God, and God is in none of his thoughts. That's important for us. If we don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or those who are wrong, we've got to learn how to pick up the voice of God. I like to illustrate it with a recipe. How many of y'all like homemade ice cream? Raise your hand. How many of y'all eaten more homemade ice cream this summer than you should have eaten? How many of y'all like Bluebell? Raise your hand. How many eat a little Bluebell every day? Hey, have y'all tried that new Bluebell? No, they got a camouflage out. Is it good?
I ain't eat it yet.
You hadn't tried it? You can't find it? It's camouflage. Mr. Bud, there's a new bluebell. Miss Sadie, it's in a blue container, and it's called what, Stephanie? Cookie Two-Step. And Stephanie does the two-step every time she eats it. She likes it, I'm telling you. She likes it. It's pretty good. What it is, it's cookies and cream and cookie dough combination. And it is good, really good. Really good. Too good. Yeah. It'll hurt you. We went to a funeral yesterday, and on the way home, Stephanie said, boy, I sure wish I had some of that two-step right now. Liddy said, me too. So what do? They made me turn around and go by Sonic and get on some ice cream. Oh, yeah. Y'all requested. Yeah. But you ever eat something that just was missing? Something really important in it. Ice cream needs sugar in it, don't it? Amen. If it's missing sugar, you think it's going to stand out?
Yeah.
When I say sugar, I'm talking about some kind of sweetener. You can put substitute sweeteners in it, and normally you can tell. How many of y'all like some of those substitute sweeteners when you put them on their tongue, they make your tongue want to back up a minute and say, wait a minute here, this ain't right. That's what those substitute things will do to you now. How many of y'all like that Equal? How many use Equal? Oh, that stuff nasty. Man, that'll put you on the run. What's some of the other ones out there? Splenda's not that bad. I can deal with Splenda. It's all right. It's close. What's another one? Stevia. Some Stevia's not that bad, but some Stevia is similar to like an Equal. That's like, how many of y'all used to drink them Tab drinks? You like them Tabs? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I would drink a Tab and eat a
Hershey bar morning. Every morning. And she did that when she was young. Y'all ever drink Tabs? Yeah, I like sugar too. Yeah. Well, when it's missing, you know it. And if you didn't know something was missing, though, you would never pick up on it. And the same thing applies to when you're talking with people, people that work for you, people that you work for, homes you go into, things on the radio, things on TV. And when you can't pick up, when you can't hear God's voice in somebody's conversation, that's an important indicator. God's not in there. He's not in their thought process. He's not present. And if he's not present, I got to be careful on what I'm listening to. Amen?
Amen?
That's important. But if I didn't know it, I would never pick up on it. See, when I was young, walking under the counsel of my parents, I didn't know the difference between when Jesus was present in something and when he wasn't. But now I know. Now I can determine. If I can discern, do I hear the voice of God or do I not hear him? And therefore, that helps me in how I work with people and deal with people and who I'm working with and what kind of advice I'm going to take. And you see, Psalms helps me with these things. Then you get into Psalm 16. Let's look at it real quick before we go. This has to be one of the most beautiful Psalms written. When we really just get in and dig through it. He says in verse 1, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. I'm counting on you to keep me, to protect me, to hold me, to surround me. My life is in your hands. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. See, that is one of those words that I've always gone back to. That simple word that David said, my goodness is nothing apart from you. And what a truth, amen. Our goodness has no value apart from Him.
Amen.
It's His presence that makes our goodness eternally worthy. It's Him. But then He says this, it's the saints who are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. What are some of those five things about a kingdom thinker that we talk about? What are they? We mentioned them the other day. A kingdom thinker always has what? Fruit on his mind. What's the next thing? The brethren where? Why? Because David says that it's the people of God, the saints of the Lord, those that belong to God, those who recognize their goodness is in Him and their goodness is nothing apart from Him. He says that's the excellent ones on the earth. That's where all my delight is in. Who? The brethren. Amen. He said, I love the righteous. I love the brethren. They are the ones who are elevated in His eyes above everybody else of the earth is the people of God. And folks, we need to look at it that way. We love the church. Amen.
Amen.
And that, yeah, the church has its faults because we live in a broken, fallen world. But it's the redeemed whom the brethren have their sights on and love being with. And believe that this old world is not even worthy of the saints of God. Amen?
Amen?
They are the excellent ones. He goes on to say in this psalm, not just that, but their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. He's simply saying, I'm not going to get caught up with idol worship. And those that are not serving the living God, I'm not going to let them influence me. Verse 5, O Lord, You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot, Your providence. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. He's saying, God, I trust that You have put me where You want me. You've given me what I need. I am where I am, doing what I'm doing, all by Your providence. And I trust You that You know exactly what You're up to. And I'm going to ask You to preserve me in what You set me apart for. Verse 7, I bless the Lord who has given me counsel when... In the past, when it was daytime, when I was walking in the light, why? He gave me counsel so that when I went through the night seasons, and notice, he says in this verse, my heart also instructs me in the night season. Not just night season, but he uses a plural in there. Night season. How many of you been through some night seasons?
Amen.
A night season is a time when it's hard, when it's dark. That's why it refers to a night season. Some of the old saints of days gone by, when they would refer to a night season, they would call it that midnight hour of the soul when things are dark. They hard. You're not hearing from the Lord at the time. You're doing what God told you to do, and you're walking with Him, but there's a sense of discouragement. There's a sense of depression going on. You hadn't gotten out of His will. But God puts us in times of night seasons, not only to reveal our hearts to us, but to test us of where we are. And David says, when I was in the light, when I was not in a night season, You took Your word and gave me counsel, and I hid it in my heart. Because You prepared me for when I went through the dark time, the hard time, that I would take the counsel You hid in me when I was in the light. I would be able to bring it out when I went through the night season. And I give You praise and I give You glory for that. Amen? You see, you can't prepare for the night season when you're in the night season. You prepare for the night season before you ever go through it. So that when you're in it, His counsel that He gave you while you was in the light will be that thing that instructs you, that you depend on, that you cling to because you put your trust in Him. He's going to carry you and deliver you through. As David would say, great deliverance belongs to Thy King. You've brought me through everything.
Amen.
I trust You. You fed me with great truths. And then there was times when I wasn't hearing from You. But what You gave me when You was feeding me is now sustaining me in this dark time of my life. And I'm going to trust You. What a beauty. Amen. And he understood that he was always in God's presence, even though he was in the dark. He says again, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption, which is a direct reference to Christ himself. Verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, it's in his presence that we're with the right person. We go through the right problems. Because you're going to go through problems. They're just the right problems when you're in his presence. You're going to have the right path. You're going to find the right pleasures. You'll have the right purpose. You'll have the right priorities in life when you abide in the presence of the Almighty. Even in the night season, that's part of the problem. It's all part of his plan. It's all part of his purpose. And it's a right kind of problem to have when you know that he is always at your right hand. Amen. And that he's leading you down the path of life with his instruction. Amen?
Amen?
Psalm 16 is one of those psalms that you want to get familiar with. Because it takes a lifetime of living and walking with the Lord and sums things up in 11 verses. Of the fact that we want him to preserve us. Our goodness is nothing apart from him. We need to be with the brethren. We're going to go through problems. He's going to counsel us. We can pull that counsel up. He's going to lead us down the right path with the right pleasures, for the right reason, with the right purpose, with the right priority, time and time and time again, when we understand that in his presence is the fullness of joy. Living for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Living for his glory. Father, we thank you today that we can claim that the deliverance that was promised to David is applied to Christ, and us being in Christ, therefore it belongs to us. You say that all your works are covered with your tender mercies. That would be us. That all your works shall bless you. That would be us. And all your saints shall praise you. That is us. The heavens do declare the glory of God. But it's us who proclaim the beauty of your glorious good news of grace in the gospel that you use to rescue, redeem, and make righteous the sons of men. Use us, O God. May we walk in your counsel. May we find hope and refuge under your shadow. May we lay our heads down and rest though the enemy surround us. We are going to look to you because it's in your presence. It's abiding in you that we find the sweetest and most precious pleasures known to man. And we give you glory today. Teach us how to sing psalms of one another. Hide these things in our heart so that when we walk into the darkness, your light will continue to guide us from within. In Jesus' name.